You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today, we're starting a brand new series called Here and Now. And now, speaking of honoring God and making disciples for the past 35 years, that's 35 years as well of advancing God's kingdom. And that being said, what better way to kick off our 35th anniversary than to have a series that's all about the kingdom of God. We'll be talking about this topic here, the kingdom of God. Basically, we're going to answer a few important questions when it comes to the kingdom of God. And that is, what is the kingdom of God? What is our role in it ba? Our goal in the next 4 weeks, to be precise, that we will have greater understanding, a clearer picture of what the kingdom of God is. And as his citizens, or as part of the kingdom of God, we would come to understand what our role in it as well. And may we live out our role as well in the kingdom of God. And the way that we're going to do this, the way for us to understand all the more about the kingdom of God, is that over the next few weeks, we're going to look at certain parables in the Bible. For this week, we're going to look at the parable of the weeds. Next week, the parable of the mustard seed and the leavened bread. The third week, we're going to talk about the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. And for the last week, as we close this series, we're going to talk about the parable of the dragnet. It's all about the parables. So for this week, we're going to look at the parable of the weeds. Matthew 13, verse 24 to 30. It says there, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest you gather the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Before we go and unpack the verses we just read a while ago of the parable that Jesus is talking here, first thing we need to discuss or go through muna, let's qualify muna, what are parables? If you read your Bible, you would come to understand that the Bible contains different genres of literature. There are narratives, there are stories, there are poems, there are songs, there are letters, there are proverbs as well, and of course, there are parables also. So for us to learn more about what Jesus is trying to say here, we need first to qualify what is a parable nga ba? Now the word parable comes from the Greek word parabol or parabole, which means comparison of one thing with another in likeness or similitude. In other words, you're comparing one thing with another. In other words, Jesus is saying one thing for him to explain something else. So ever taught something to someone, parang feeling nimo kailangan ng illustration to get your point across. For you to be able to explain something clearly, but sometimes you need to use an illustration or an analogy. Parable is like that. A parable is often described as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Because Jesus, when he would share his parables, he would use common everyday experiences of the people in that time and the culture so that they would get it. It seems like a simple earthly story, but at its core, there is a heavenly meaning to it. There's more to it than just this simple earthly story. And at one point in his ministry as well, Jesus used parables to the extent that he would use it exclusively. Whenever he would do ministry, whenever he would teach the crowds, whenever he would go to towns, he would use parables to teach. And you might ask, ano man parables gamito niya to teach people? But in fact, some people couldn't get and understand the parables. His disciples would often ask him after he would separate himself from the crowd. They would ask him, Jesus, what do you mean by this parable? What does this mean? Now, Jesus had two main reasons why he would use parables to explain to people. It is to reveal the truth to those who wanted to know it and to conceal the truth from those who were indifferent. If you notice, the Pharisees who were so against Jesus, every time Jesus would speak, they would try to contradict him. They wouldn't listen to him. Basically, he would tell parables so that those who really wanted to know the truth would inquire, would want to know more. They would say, Jesus, what does this mean? And those who were indifferent of the truth, they would just ignore him. They would say, also being ginasulti ni Jesus. So those were his main reasons. Now moving on back to the story, Matthew 18 verse 13 may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. So Jesus starts off this parable of the weeds with saying the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now, you might ask, I thought we're talking about the kingdom of God. Why is it that we're looking at the kingdom of heaven? Are these two different things ba? Like ang kingdom of God or like the kingdom of heaven? To answer that question very directly, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is mentioned 6 to 8 times throughout the New Testament. But the kingdom of heaven is mentioned exclusively in the gospel account of Matthew. But Jesus used these terms interchangeably. So it's the same. Whenever you would see in your text, the kingdom of heaven, it still means the kingdom of God. And vice versa. So Jesus in his parable is still talking about the kingdom of God. Now going forward, let's answer the question, what is the kingdom of God? Because he's trying to explain that the kingdom of God is like this, like so and so. But before we get to that, unsa ba ang kingdom of God? Perhaps at one point in your life, in your walk with God, perhaps you've heard about the kingdom of God. As you've been attending this church, perhaps you've heard of the term the kingdom of God, but you're unsure unsa ba jud ang kingdom of God. What comes to your mind when you hear the word kingdom? For some of you, perhaps a medieval castle. That's what you can think of. It's a fairy tales. A castle, a land with a king and with a crown. That kind of kingdom. For some of you naman, enchanted kingdom imo matink nimo. Gangam wato, magrides, maglag, enchanted kingdom. And for some of you who are much younger pa, for some of you who have kids with you, toy kingdom imuhang matink when it comes to the word kingdom. But when we talk about the kingdom of God, the most basic definition of the kingdom of God is that it is the rule and reign of God as an expression of His sovereign will. The rule and reign of God as an expression of His sovereign will. The kingdom of God, maybe some of you are wondering, asa ba ning kingdom of God sa mapa? Masi mag-Google Earth na ako ning kingdom of God. Where can I find this? Well, the kingdom of God knows no land borders. It is more than just a land area. Sinclair Ferguson says that the kingdom of God is a kingdom where God's appointed King Jesus is presently reigning in and through the lives of His people, accomplishing His will on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, wherever there are people honoring God under the Lordship of Christ, glorifying God, proclaiming the gospel, wherever there are people like that on earth, then the kingdom of God is there. The kingdom of God is not bound by any earthly borders. Wala ni land borders, sea borders, kanang area of responsibility lang. Diyan sa tama ng kingdom of God. No, it goes beyond that. The kingdom of God is an expression of God's sovereignty, His will, His rule on earth as it is in heaven. You might be thinking as well, the kingdom of God is whenever people would glorify God, whenever people would honor God as well. So, Tom, di naman tanang people sa world nag-glorify ni God pa. A question that some people have often asked is that, is the kingdom of God a present reality? Meaning, is it here right now? Fully here right now? Or is it a future hope? Parang, di ba kahit tanang tao pa, not all 7 billion people in the world are honoring God, worshiping God, or under the worship of Christ. Is the kingdom of God a present reality that's here right now and this is all the extent to it lang? Or is it something that we can look forward to? Because some of us here today, perhaps when we look at our social media, we look at the news, we look at the bad news all around us and thinking, Lord, how can your kingdom be here when all of these bad things are seemingly all around us? Is the kingdom of God presently here or a future hope? And the answer to that is, yes, it is both. It is both here and it's both not yet here. Why is it both here and not yet here? Okay, there's 3 stages to the kingdom of God for us to fully grasp this, for us to know why it's here and not yet here. First is the inauguration, meaning Jesus started it. When He came to this world, started His ministry, when He's born into this world and we died on the cross for our sins, He brought the kingdom of God here. The King Himself brought the kingdom of God. Matthew 3 verse 2, John the Baptist, when he was doing his ministry, preparing the way of the Messiah, he would often say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While he was ministering, after a few verses later, sometime later, Jesus came to the picture, and then Jesus was baptized, and then after some time, Jesus started His ministry. Jesus started, were brought with Him the kingdom of God. But this is the part we can say that the kingdom of God is already here. After Jesus left, told His disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, the gospel spread, more people became followers of Christ, the kingdom of God came into this world, and it started to spread. It didn't end there lang. The last part or last stage of the kingdom of God is consummation. Meaning Jesus will finish it. It's still unfinished. but yet it started, but there will be a time when Jesus will finish it. When the kingdom of God will be fully realized. Revelation chapter 19 verse 11 says, this is the Apostle John speaking, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." The Apostle John has this vision of Jesus coming back, because this will take place when Jesus comes back at the end of the age. When he will come back as a conquering king, as a mighty conqueror, as one who will restore all things, who will right all wrongs, who will reverse the curse of sin, who will bring justice, when the kingdom of God will be fully realized and everything will be in perfect harmony. That's the time, the end of the age, where the kingdom of God will be fully here. But for us, we are in the middle. That's a continuation part now. Meaning, the kingdom of God is here. It has been started by Jesus over 2,000 years ago. God's kingdom is advancing, but it's not yet fully realized. We are part of God's kingdom, or we have been birthed again and part of His kingdom. We are sons and daughters of God, but we are not yet who we are supposed to be fully. Wala pa fully na realize ang kingdom ni God. This is what we call the already but not yet. The kingdom of God is already here, but not yet fully here. Siguro one way to understand this is it's kind of like when you do online shopping. Wala naman gimo ginapalit, pero add to cart na mo. When you do online shopping, when you buy something, dili lang add to cart. When you really buy something, you pay it and all, you get the online receipt, so you technically, you bought it na. You have a receipt for it na, claim na nimo. But you haven't yet held the item. Wala pa nabot sa doorstep nimo. It's not yet there. It's to be delivered pa to you. So it's kind of like the kingdom of God, the already and not yet. The same thing with the kingdom of God, the already and not yet. With that out of the way, as we finally have a grasp of what the kingdom of God is, it's the rule and reign of God in this world and in the future as well, when it will be fully realized. Jesus compares the kingdom of God this way in this parable. He says, it's like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now, some of you, when you see that word seed, you might be thinking, di ba pareho ni parable of the sower who planted seed on certain soils. On some of the soils, the seed would grow to become plants. In some of the soils, the seed would die. Either wala siya na plant wells, the soils, or gikaon siya birds, or it was choked with thorns. That story, a parable of the sower. But in this story, it's not like the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, the seed there is the gospel. The soil are the people. But in this story, the parable of the weeds is actually explained by Jesus in verse 36 to 43 of Matthew 13. And he says basically that the field is the world. The sower is him, Jesus, the Son of Man. The enemy is Satan, the one who would sow weeds. And we're going to look into that later. The wheat are the children of God, the good seed. The wheat are the children of the evil one. The reapers are the angels, the harvest at the end of the age. And to be burned later is hell, and to be kept in the barn is heaven. In other words, the good seed that we're talking about here today are the children of God, or the children of the kingdom, being planted into the world, or in this story, the field. In other words, if ang previous parable, ani, because before the parable of the weeds, in the same chapter, you have the parable of the sower, God sowed this word into the people, His people, so that He can sow His people as well into the world. In the story of the parable of the weeds, we're talking about His people being sowed into the world. Now to continue, but while His men were sleeping, and when it says sleeping, it doesn't mean natulog ang mga people ni God. It doesn't mean God slept as well, because this symbolizes Jesus and those working with Him. Sleeping here does not imply the servants were neglectful, but that the enemy was stealthy, crafty, and malicious. It says here, while the men were sleeping, His enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. Fun fact as well, in their time, in their culture, this is actually a common practice. Nga mga karibal o business sa land or farming, or you wanna attack someone who has land, common practice would be you would get seeds of weeds and you would sow it into the land of someone. It's a big crime because it is punishable by Roman law. So in other words, Satan sowed weeds in the same field, in the same world here today, amongst the 7 billion people, not with children of the evil one. Okay, Satan sowed weeds in the same field. Now, verse 26, so when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. Tubo ng wheat slowly, the weeds also came up. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" One of them said, "Master, they want us to go to the fields and uproot the weeds, take out the weeds." But the master of the field said to them, "No, in gathering the weeds, you root up the weed along with them." What does this mean? What did the master say? Ayos ang kuhaan ninyo. Kaya mag-gather ninyo ang weeds along with them. Well, basically, when you think about weeds, some of us, atong matwing is amorseco siguro, kanang mga common Pinoy nga weeds. But this isn't the Philippines. This is Israel. Ang weed ani, and if you compare it with wheat before it is fully ripe, dili pa fully mature ang wheat, it looks almost the same. Green siya, na siya certain na features, pareho siya. So if you're not a farmer, you're not used to this, or kung malibat ka, maski gamay man lang, you could end up taking wheat along with the weed when you're trying to get rid of the weed. Not only that, but the roots of these plants, because they've been planted together in the same soil, nagka-entangle na ang roots ani niya. So if you're gonna pull out a weed, you might pull out the wheat also, prematurely, while wala pa ni-grow fully ang wheat. So in other words, the wheat and the weeds look deceptively similar to one another. You can't just pick one and tell them apart. Now, since this is an analogy as well, this parable talks about the world, the sons of God, the sons of the evil one, to those that don't belong to God. This is also a warning to us. Now, not everyone who seems to be a follower of Christ on the outside, who seems to be a believer of Christ on the outside, it doesn't mean nga part of the kingdom of God. In other words, there will be times when people, they might embrace a counterfeit gospel, na may gospel yung ginabelieve, pero dili dili siya sakto diay. The New Testament, Paul even writes a few times about false believers, believing false gospels, committing false righteousness or counterfeit righteousness. There are those people who seem Christian, but are not. Because to be a believer of Christ, follower of Christ, it's more than just wearing those Worship Gen t-shirts. You could be listening to worship songs, Seal Song, Planet Shakers, Victory Worship, all other songs. You could be attending church. You could be attending a victory group and not be actually be a Christian, a follower of Christ. I'm not here to put doubt into your salvation. That's not my point here. But it's for us to realize that not everyone who seems Christian on the outside is actually a follower of Christ. So we need to be aware of that. And some of you might think, so what should we do now? Does it mean na dapat magbelieve the Lord? Give me parang superpower to determine kinsay Christian or not para kick out na ko sa church nila or something. What should we do ba? Well, we are called to go and grow as wheat and not to go and gather the weeds. What did the master of the field say when one of them asked, "Can we go out there and pick up the weeds, uproot them?" And he says, "No, lest you take the wheat along with you." We are not to go out there, and ang focus nato is to gather the weeds, get rid of them. If you look at history, whenever people would take the role or responsibility that's supposed to be kangag, bad things would happen. There are certain historical events like the Crusades, the Inquisition, the witch hunts, many people were killed. I'm not saying we ignore evil, by no means, but by no means are we to destroy it completely by taking the place of God. We are not God. But our role as wheat, as the sons of His kingdom, is first to grow. When you plant wheat, what's the one thing that wheat does? It grows. That's it. Masyalang ambisyon na. That is only focus. The same thing with us. Our role is to advance the kingdom of God by growing as wheat. Wherever God has planted you, in your campus, in your workplace, in your communities, in your families, you are called to advance His kingdom, to honor Him, to glorify Him, to be under His lordship by growing as wheat. In our church, we are called to grow. Nag-grow bata where God has planted us. Matthew 5, verse 13 and 14 says, "You are the salt of the earth." And just like salt, salt is to be used. There's a purpose for salt. "And you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." You are to be used. We are to be God's ambassadors. That's why Jesus told His disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He didn't just say, "Go and stay in your rooms and just honor me there. Okay lang na siya." But go out there, advance God's kingdom. In other words, we're called to honor God and make disciples wherever we go. We're called to grow as wheat wherever God has placed us. We might think, "Tom, it's so hard to grow where I am. I'm the only wheat. Ako ra ang Kristiyano dere. Where ko gibutang ni God? Ano ko gibutang ni God dere? Kaninga campus, kaninga workplace, kaninga subdivision. Ako ra may Kristiyano sa akong family." You might be the only Christian, you might be the only wheat in that field, but here's the thing, we are called to grow even in the midst of weeds. Remember that field? Dakang weeds na. And yet the master of the field says, let it all grow. Meaning, mugrow ka. Wherever God has planted you, if God placed you there, regardless of the oppositions, and yes, as Christians, there will be opposition. There will be trials. There will be hardships. We just talk about these. Sa last series natin, sa Grace Changes Everything. There will be hard times. There will be times you would feel hopeless, desperate. And yet, because God planted you there, and because we are reliant on the grace of God, we would still grow, even in the midst of weeds. Even if you're the only Christian there, you would still grow as a wheat. We are called to grow, even in the midst of weeds. Then Matthew 13, verse 30, it continues here as well. Let both grow together until the harvest. So this is the plan of the master of the field. Don't get to the weeds muna, but let them both grow until the harvest. You might ask, nga naman, importante kayo nga mag-wheat until the harvest. And that is because when wheat is fully grown and the wheat, the darnel or the tares is fully grown, there is now a difference. Now you can tell it apart. This is the wheat and this is the darnel. In other words, the way that we can fully tell someone if he is a believer of Christ, a follower of Christ, one of the sons of God's kingdom, compared to someone who is just pretending to be a Christian or just following the motions of being a Christian lang, is with its fruit. You can tell it by the fruit of a person. What he produces in his life. It's not just on the outside lang, balag naka-checkbox nga, kaniyang sanina, kaniyang music kinapaminaw niya, attends church. No, it's the fruit of the person. Why? John 15 verse 4 gives us an insight of what it means to produce good fruit. This is Jesus talking. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides, means to remain, to be connected. In the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. In other words, a true believer of Christ, a true wheat planted into the soil, into the world, cannot bear fruit unless he abides in Jesus. Unless he remains in Christ, unless he is connected to Christ, unless he is genuinely birthed again and following Christ, he cannot produce fruit. He cannot bear fruit. He cannot be that wheat that he is called to be. In other words, mugawas jud ang difference. Pretend as much as someone would want to pretend, it would just come out. You can tell by the fruit of someone's life. In other words, as you look at this verse as well, there's a few things that we can learn from them. Firstly, we are called to grow and be fruitful. I said a while ago that we are called to grow as wheat. And for some of us, when you talk about growing where we are right now, perhaps we are challenged to advance the kingdom of God. Tom, you don't know how difficult it is to honor God in my workplace, in my campus, in my family. It's so hard to be fruitful. Parang, nag-try na ko reach out sa akong workmates, nag-try na ko reach out sa akong boss, nag-try na ko reach out sa akong classmates and all of these people. It seems so hard to grow. I'm not saying it's gonna be easy, but if you look at this verse once again, it is a guarantee that there will be harvest. Meaning, if you remain in Christ, wherever you're planted, it is a guarantee that there will be harvest. You will bear fruit. It may not be immediately. It may take time, months, years, I don't know, but you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. You will be a blessing to people. This is a good question for us as well. As wheat being planted in this world by Jesus, question for all of us, are we flourishing as wheat? Are we bearing fruit nga ba? Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It says here, as you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. This is lordship right here. In other words, you know, the one litmus test to see if we are flourishing is that, are we under the lordship of Christ? Are we honoring Him? If we want to be that wheat that is flourishing, that's bearing fruit, wherever we have been planted by God, the way to do so is to simply walk in His lordship. To honor Christ wherever we are. Another thing we can learn from this verse is that there will be a harvest at the end of the age. The master of the harvest says, let them grow together until the harvest. In the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, those who will gather the harvest, to gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. In other words, at the end of the age, there will be judgment. At the end of the age, Jesus will come as that conquering king. He will right the wrongs. He would take all the unbelievers and remove them from his presence. As he explained, as a parable, to be burned there means to experience his eternal separation from God, to be in hell. There will come a time at the end of the age when judgment would come from those who are part of God's kingdom and those who are not part of God's kingdom. When the kingdom of heaven comes to its fruition, heaven will be a reality and there will be no weeds among the wheat. And it's an encouragement for us as well. Because sometimes when you think about the state of the world right now, what's happening around us, sometimes we tend to feel defeated. We tend to feel like, nag-advance ba ang kingdom ni God? When this is happening, when certain beliefs are spreading, there's calamities in the world, there's war, there's famine, there's conflict all around us. Nag-advance ba ang kingdom of God? We tend to be like the servants in this parable. Master, weeds have been planted into this world. What do we do now? Nag-panic na ta. But if you look at the story, you would see that the master is fully in control. He's unfazed. He knows exactly what to do. There will be harvest. Those weeds, mawala na sila. And this encouragement to us that whatever is that we're suffering now, whatever pain, suffering, wrongdoing has been sowed into the world by the devil, at the end of the age, he will be defeated. At the end of the age, when Jesus comes back to bring judgment, he will right the wrongs. He will destroy evil. Meaning God is still sovereign, church. Wherever you are, no matter what you see in the news, it is not a cause for us to press the panic button and say, Lord, what now? Wala nang kalibutan. It's like we're in a sinking ship. No. God is still very much in control. He is sovereign. He knows what He's doing. We are in a continuation. And the end of the age, in the consummation apart, the kingdom of God will be fully realized. Now, what can we do as His people, knowing that the kingdom of God is advancing, is here, and we have a role to play? Even amidst all of these things, what can we do as His people? The one thing we can do simply as His people is to keep honoring God and make disciples. We want to be the wheat. We want to grow as wheat. We want to bear fruit wherever we are. We want to advance God's kingdom. And so that more people would honor Him. More people would have in their hearts to be under His rule and reign. What do we do if we are not to go out there and take the weed and take the role of God? What do we do as wheat planted in this world? From here and onwards, here and now, honor God and make disciples. Honor God in every area of your life. Honor God and make disciples. Preach the gospel. Advance the kingdom of God. That is what we can do as citizens of His kingdom, as sons and daughters of His kingdom.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.